How is it?
Okay. So the last time that we met together, not in this room, right, and not without masks, we began the sugya of Dav Zayin Amud Aleph about a bodek tzarech she yivarech, and I want to elaborate first a little bit more about the Vedika implications, just to complete, you know, some of the themes that we've, you know, invested in, and obviously there's always more, but this is one of the, you know, applications of it. We touched on it, I believe, in the last year, and is that good? Even the water tastes better, you know, in the room without the mask. But so let's talk about that for a couple of minutes, and then to move, to take a step back and to look at the broader sugya in terms of Birchas HaMitzvah, and whether there are different types of Birchas HaMitzvah, what the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah is, what is reflected by the, you know, Nusach HaBracha and other Birchas HaMitzvah type issues about the character and the nature of particular mitzvahs. Right? So these are all things that we want to investigate. To do that, let's just have somebody, again, very quickly catch us up on the Shaka V'tar. I know we did it last time quickly, but just to get it on the record again. Let's hear. Aaron, is that okay? Amrav Yehuda. Okay, so that's the first thing that we're going to discuss, that we touched a little bit on, but I want to go a little bit further on, and that is that obvious, is that problematic? Okay, two opposite views. What do I mean by that? And then we'll elaborate in a couple of minutes.
If you hold like closest at the beginning of the set, then that because Hamid is just a siyag, and it's weird that we would assume that there's a Birchas HaMitzvah on it.
Correct. In other words, given the nature of what Bedikas Chametz is, according to the various views in the Rishonim and the Poskim, is it obvious that you should make a bracha at all? And indeed, the Ritva, we'll discuss a little more detail in a couple of minutes, but the Ritva highlights this, talks about the fact that, I'll just read one line from the Ritva, and then we'll discuss the rest of it in a minute, after we do the survey in the Shaka V'tarya. But just to show that we're on the right road, and the Ran as well, that, you know, this is an issue because of the nature, maybe the limited nature, of the Bedikas Chametz, right? So the Ritva makes the comment, and the Ran pretty much echoes this as well, that, 1 second, my Mevarech, I'm sorry, not my Mevarech, Habodek Tzor Sheivarech, Bishum de ikra mitzvah hainu biur, the ina bedika ella tikun behechsher. Okay? Meaning if the bracha that we made was prior to the biur, then the fact that you have to make a bracha would be more obvious. the fact that the bedika is a tikun behechsher, right, becomes an issue. So, of course, the question is, you know, so where does that leave us? Then he goes on to say, "Afagab devadai bedika minat Torah," which is fascinating, because we know that that's not at all a davar pasha, that bedika is minat Torah. We wanted to say this for the Yerushalmi. We wanted to say this for, for the Rambam. You know, in even though he calls it divrei sofer, but that the way that he formulates it, and some of the Nosei Kalim, you know, say this as well. You know, in the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. We, of course, you know, in the absence of Bittul, there's a group of Rishonim, beginning possibly with Rashi, that that think that Bidika is Daraisa. But again, we're not talking, we say Abodek Tzor Sheivarech, we're not talking about in the absence of Bittul alone, obviously. So the Ritva's comment here that Bidika is Bina Torah, the Yeshno Bechlal Hashvasa, even, you know, in cases where there is bittul, unless he just means in the best scenario, is striking. Delosagi belavachi mikamakom kosokadaitich shalai yivarech el v'shas habir, right? And kamashmalan. The question is, what is the kamashmalan? And that's what we want to. I just first want to do the survey, and then want to get back to it. But this is already, you know, a good way to formulate the question. As in Iran, makes a parallel kind of a comment, and that is, you know, kamash malan, that even though something is a siag, even though something is more pragmatic, you know, if it's nachutz, you know, if it is necessary or plays a certain kind of role, you know, the standard, I guess, of what it is that demands a bracha is, you know, is not all that high, you know, apparently. So that's a takeaway. And then, you know, that opens up, you know, the possibility of brachos for a lot of other things, either to explain the phenomenon of existing brachos, where we have this kind of question, or in cases where, you know, in the absence of evidence, you know, we're wondering about it, you know. So that's one possibility, one possible takeaway. The other possibility, of course, is, and this could be true even if you, ironically, you know, even if you didn't, you know, assume, you know, that Bedika is always Doraisa, or even if you assume that Bedika is never Doraisa, right? Like Bali Tosis and so on. And that is that maybe it's not just the Siag. Even if it is Rabbanan, and certainly if it's more than that, maybe Bedika, you know, plays an important role. It's a mitzvah, you know, Rabbanan, and maybe Kiyum Doraisa, but maybe even a pure mitzvah Rabbanan, but one which isn't just, you know, a Hechsher, or even if it is a Hechsher, it's a Hechsher, you know, which has some dimension of substantive, you know, contribution to the Ikar Mitzvah itself. In which case, the idea, the Havamina, that, you know, when you have something which is purely instrumental, you know, or purely, you know, siag, you know, based, that would not require bracha, that would be, you know, the normative conclusion, you know, but we're reassessing the Dikas Chametz for all sorts of reasons. And therefore, of course, it goes back to that discussion, as Aaron mentioned, of Rashi and Tosis, you know, in the beginning of the Masechta, as well as, you know, assessing the different cases of Bedika itself, right? Like we just said, you know, what about Bedika when there's no Bittol as opposed to Bedika when there is Bittol? But even more than that, what about Bedika Lifnei Shloshim Yom Kishakozer? What about Bedika, you know, La'achar Shloshim Yom? What about Bedika on, you know, Leil Yud Gimel? And what about Bedika on Yom Yud Dalet? I'm skipping Leil Yud Dalet because obviously that's the optimal, that's the best Bedika you're going to find. But if we're talking about, you know, the satellites, you know, the other cases, so again, you know, Yom Yud Dalet. Yom Yud Dalet in the morning. What about Yom Yud Dalet already in the afternoon? And then what about Chag, right? And then what about Chametz Sha'avar Alava Pesach? In all those cases, all those are scenarios that we're familiar with. You know, and not only they could happen, but they're discussed by the Gemara and the Rishonim. So do all those bedikos, are all those bedikos b'chada machta, right? Do they all require a bracha? And if not, where do you draw the line? And, you know, are you drawing the line because, you know, that line is the line between, you know, a siag, you know, and some sort of a mitzvah d'rabbanan, or maybe even more than a mitzvah d'rabbanan, maybe you need something more, maybe you need some sort of like positive kiyum, some sort of a chalos, in which case, you know, the line is drawn for a little bit of a different reason, if you remember to keep doing this. Okay, so these are all things to think about in light of the Ritva's comment, and we'll just, you know, get back to them, you know, in just a couple of minutes. But that's already just, you know, reading the Gemara, the question of, you know, whether this is a Chiddush, what is the Chiddush, is it true in all circumstances? These are things that spring to mind immediately. Okay, that's just the first line. Okay, Rapapi Mama Mishmeda Rava. I'm sorry, Mayim Varech.
Mayim Varech. Rav Papi Amar Mishmei Derava Levayer Chametz. Rav Papa Amar Mishmei Derava Albir Chametz.
Yeah. So again, when we encounter this kind of argument about the Nusach HaBracha, Aaron, so what would you say about that in terms of thinking about it? What are you thinking about?
I guess it could be more technical.
Yeah. In other words, one possibility is that the Nusach is a technical question. It certainly sounds that way a little bit in the beginning of the Gemara, as we'll discuss in a second. You know, is it positive? Is it, you know, past? Is it future? You know, what does it signify? And so on. Can it be misconstrued? etc. So there could be, you know, that kind of a question. Or
could be like which one more is a better way of fundamentally describing the mitzvah at hand.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if we're to conclude that there is more than one legitimate, you know, nusach of Birchas HaMitzvah, and that we apportion or make the decision, you know, based on other factors. So again, this question reasserts itself. In other words, if it's one across the board, which is what it sounds like in the beginning of the Gemara, which is, you know, what is the proper nusach HaBracha period for Birchas HaMitzvah? So that, you know, if it isn't a technical question, which it very well may be, so then the conceptual question probably is, you know, what is the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah? Right? And that's something we have to, you know, again, we're not going to stay on the sugya forever because I want to get to the Gemaras on Tes and Yud. But, you know, obviously, that's a big issue. Right? We have an institution here called Birchas HaMitzvah, and we have to figure out what, you know, what that's about, and especially how does it fit in with Birchas HaNe'anim and Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, you know, other categories, Birchas HaTorah, you know, other categories that we are familiar with. So maybe the Nusach HaBracha, as well as the timing, you know, Kol HaMitzvos Mevarchin Aleihem Over La'asi Asan. Maybe it goes to that broader question of what is the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah. If, you know, there turns out that there's more than one legitimate nusach for Birchas HaMitzvah, then again, if it isn't just a technical question of describing, you know, the acknowledged, agreed-upon pratim of the mitzvah, but, you know, it goes to the question that Aaron mentioned of the nature of the particular mitzvah, very reasonable to think that there are different types of mitzvahs. Right, there are mitzvahs which are, you know, act-oriented, and there are mitzvahs that are effect- or result-oriented. There are mitzvahs which are focused on the chovas hagabra, you know, it's, you know, personal obligation, and it's the discharging of that obligation, which is the focal point. And then there are mitzvahs which, you know, are have to do, again, but in an effect way, but in addition to that, on the reality of the chepta shel mitzvah, you know, being performed. So the idea that different nuscha'os may reflect the orientation of different mitzvahs, when we know, you know, that, you know, it's a legitimate idea that there are different types of mitzvahs, and we're familiar with some other issues. Some mitzvahs are nitan, you know, to be accomplished al yidei shlichus, and some are not. That's a big factor, you know, in the Rishonim. You know, some have a zman kavua, you know, and others, you know, do not. As I say, some are rishus, and some are chovas hagavra. So, if we, you know, determine that the nusach habracha is going to be linked, you know, to some of these other factors, which the Rishonim exactly, you know, discuss. So then the idea that these factors themselves, you know, highlight or underscore, you know, different orientations, action, effect, gabra, chepta, you know, et cetera, it's rishus, kova, et cetera, that becomes very reasonable. And then the world of, you know, of nusach habracha becomes a window, right, into, you know, understanding the nature, character of different mitzvahs and different, the phenomenology of different mitzvahs. You know, that's a fascinating thing. Like, you know, who to thunk it? You know, that just, like, whether you say al or le, you know, could be the mafteach, you know, to a better appreciation and to opening up, you know, issues in individual mitzvahs. But indeed it is, and historically, you know, already in the Gemara, and then of course with the Rishonim, the Gaonim and the Rishonim, spent a lot of time, you know, on these questions. What do you make a bracha on? What don't you make a bracha on? You know, when before and when after? What does a habracha? When do you say zman? In addition, they did that, you know, to pin down the details, for sure. But also because, and certainly in the process of doing that, they developed a whole theory of you know, a whole hierarchy of different, you know, different, you know, models of mitzvahs, which were highlighted by the bracha. So, again, we talked about this a little bit, you know, last year, right in the beginning of Chulin, when we talked about Birchas HaShechita, both the Nusach, you know, the contrast, let's say, you know, to between, you know, Birchas, we'll get to it in a second, Shechitas, you know, Kachim and Shechitas Chulin, and, you know, issues like that, and whether it's a Rishus or a Chova. So certainly we would want to, you know, become familiar with at least some of the basic, you know, perspectives. So we would have this mafteach, this, you know, methodology available to us whenever we encounter, you know, nusach habracha issues, so that we know not only the proper way to fulfill the mitzvah, to execute the bracha, which is, of course, in its own right, you know, you don't need any more justification than doing things properly. We consider the ability to make brachos and do mitzvos to be opportunities, spiritual opportunities, and therefore you have to do them, you know, respectfully and properly. And even if you wouldn't be able to penetrate and fathom, you know, the whys and the wherefores, you know, we would still be obligated to pin down the criteria. But if those, if we can reasonably also understand that these are not arbitrary, and just the Masorah are just unfathomable, you know, take it just on faith. But if we can reasonably understand that we're talking about, you know, the nature of mitzvos, and that that, you know, has, you know, repercussions for other dinim in those mitzvos, then of course that's a huge benefit. Okay, so that is so the, when the question of what the nusach is, my mevarech, and whether it's a technical question or a fundamental question, and whether it's about birchas hamitzvah in general or about particular birchas hamitzvos. This is already occasioned when the Gemara says "Ma'im Mevarech," etc. So Rav Papi said "Leva'er Chametz," and Rav Papa said "Al Bir Chametz." And basically, we're trying to figure out whether this is a broader issue in Birchas HaMitzvah, or this is, you know, going to the nature of Bedikas and Bir Chametz, you know, itself. Okay, let's continue for a moment. Go ahead. So the Gemara says "Bilavayer." Okay. So, right. Yeah. So again, this sounds like, Aaron, more of a technical point. Namely, does the word li sounds like it's future oriented? And al, you know, I think that's linguistically true, you know, is more neutral. Is it neutral, or is it, you know, maybe the question really is about the soul, you know, of Al, whether it's primarily, you know, past-oriented. But you're dealing, obviously, you know, Al, and Livayer talks about doing the action, so that always is future-oriented. Obviously, it doesn't mean on the act that you did, it's on the act that you're anticipating, you know, or imminently, you know, going to do. The question whether Al is on the past and the future is an interesting issue, because the word al per se doesn't have a past connotation, at least I don't think so. So what is it about al that would imply, you know, something of the past? The fact that you passed up the opportunity to say le, which is a more obvious, you know, future orientation? Maybe. Or maybe something else. Maybe something else. Avi, what do you think? What?
I thought
that
was neutral.
What was mutual?
Neutral.
Oh, neutral. Okay, so Tosis ends up saying that that Al is neutral, but that's because, yeah, you have the Tosis there? Go ahead, Avi, just make. Pir Shem Edutam. Pir Shem Edutam,
v'sha'afer mashra t'fei mila ba. Ha'la mikom ato, mashra na mikzas la ba. V'yilo mashra kwa la ba, ela v'sha'afer, inkin, yichi ha'ar besamu,
right. So he doesn't exactly say that it's neutral, right? We'll get to the possibility of neutral in just a moment. How would you characterize Tosa's addressing a very important, an objective issue problem, and he's also saying something about it, something important. The issue that he's addressing, of course, is the issue of yeah, I mean, if you know, if al means l'shaavar, which is certainly a way to read the Gemara, you know, le means l'haba, al maybe means l'shaavar. So how would you ever justify, you know, making a bracha over l'asiyasa and then using the expression al? That would just be, you know, inaccurate, false. It doesn't make sense to make a bracha which is, you know, which is false, which is inaccurate. So it's got to be, you know, that what we're talking about is a relative statement, meaning le is always lahaba, right? And al, you know, is either neutral, which is what you were saying, right? But that isn't what Tosis is saying exactly. Tosis said, "Kokum mashma nami ktsas lahaba," right? It sounds like he's saying mostly it means the past, but it, you know, it doesn't exclude the future. And therefore, it's not inaccurate. And therefore, there's other factors that outweigh, or that make, you know, or that preclude, you know, because of other inaccuracies or whatever, you know, the lahaba, the more explicit lahaba of le. So then, you know, it'll be the appropriate backup thing to say. Okay, that might also work if we said what I said a couple of minutes ago. Not that it's sometimes, or it doesn't exclude lahaba. Not that it's even completely neutral, maybe mostly, you know, what makes it, you know, l'shaavar, is the fact that if you wanted to say l'haba, you have a more unambiguous, you know, way to do that, right? So bypassing, you know, the more unambiguous or unequivocal, you know, you're kind of casting some question. Okay, either way, but in the bigger question, you know, these approaches are all kind of the same. Again, they're all very ensconced in the linguistic, you know, because we're in this familiar room and no one's wearing a mask. But falling back into my old habits of neglecting my water. So, however, I think that there's another way to go, especially in light of what we're kind of proposing here. And that would be, Yonatan?
Regarding this tosfos, also just the general function of how it works, as we said later on, about how the idea of, with the al, you said, also bamul, well, and the fact that we're trying to form...
To say a little louder, because we also have... Can you guys hear on the Zoom? Yeah. Stephen's nodding. Tani, can you hear? Ellie's always nice. Even if he couldn't hear, he'd probably say that. Okay. So, yeah. Gabriel can hear? Okay, good. And the other is Binyamin, you know, it's hot for sure. They can always hear. So they could probably, you know, anticipate what everybody's going to say anyway. So, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. I thought they were also talking about...
You know, do you understand what I'm asking? What I'm asking is, in this line, right... So kipligi ba'al bir mar savar merikar masha mar savar lahaba mashma. Right. So I'm saying we it's impossible, as Tosa said, that this, you know, has to mean l'shaavar. Okay. So either could be the point is that it's neutral. Could be that you're bypassing something more explicit. You know, it typically means one thing, but as an exception, it can mean the other. But these are all kind of, as I say, you're still focused on, like, you know, linguistically, what is the preferred, you know, way of saying, you know, lahaba, and therefore that makes this more of an issue. What I'm saying is there might be another way to explain why the Gemara associates al with l'sha'avar in a way, even if it isn't so much the word al linguistically implying l'sha'avar, even in any respect. Because the truth is, again, libayar, you know, always refers to an action that you're about to do. Right? But al doesn't... I would have thought that it was completely neutral. So again, saying it's neutral like we said before, like Abhi said, that's fine. In terms of how it fits in, but then what's the issue? What's the problem? What makes it more of our? Okay, because the other one is better, maybe. I wanted an alternative to that. Was it about al that implies l'sha'avar if it isn't linguistic? Ah. Ezra, what do you think?
Maybe if it's...
Exactly. maybe if Lip refers to Maisa, and Al, you know, seems to refer more to the Chatzah Shal Mitzvah, then in that respect, it has an Lisha Avar connotation. Not because linguistically, the word Al Mitzvah Smila means the Mila that you did per se, but by focusing on the Chatzah Shal Mitzvah, it sounds like you're rhapsodizing or you're, you know, referring maybe to the institution rather than to the action. And the institution always predates, you know, and postdates. It's all, you know, the institution is, you know, lamala min azman, I guess. You know, it's not, you know, it is a chefza that you're speaking about. So it's kind of timeless. It could be poor, it could be before, it could be after. It's neutral in the sense that you're not speaking about a maisa that you're about to do. You're speaking about, you know, an institution, you know, that pre and post exists, you know, your particular involvement with it. Okay? So that, I think, might end up being a very good way to solve Tosis's problem, a little bit of a different way, and a way to kind of inject, again, this, you know, kind of more, we can say, conceptual or, you know, a perspective, even into the Shakravatarya, you know, of the Gemara itself. Even when the Gemara seems to be talking, you know, strictly about, you know, timing and accuracy, really what the Gemara is playing with is, you know, what is the focus of Birchas HaMitzvah, you know, and that, you know, in turn has implications for time. Okay? Good. Okay. Meisve, go ahead. Meisve,
Baruch Asher Yishanam Mitzvah Sabetzivanu Al Hamila.
Yeah, so there we use the Nesach Abracha Al Hamila, and therefore the implication is that this supports, right, Al B'dikas Chametz, that the Al Lashon can also apply to Birchas HaMitzvah that you have yet, you know, to do. Because again, everybody's agreeing so far. I mean, haven't, you know, formulated it yet, but which is interesting. The assumption seems to be, even before it's been formalized, you know, the Kol HaMitzvos Uvarach, all things being equal, the Kol HaMitzvos Uvarachem Aleihem, you know, over L'Asiyasan. So from Bris Mila, right, we can demonstrate that the word Al can be used even in a forward way. Okay. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Right?
Hasan heki neima. Neima lamul lo sagya delat yidu manyo.
Oh. So what does that mean? The Gemara says, no, maybe there's a different reason why we have to go with Al. And that's because if you would say la, it would imply what?
On the person doing the
Mitzvah. Echovas Agabra on the actor, on the person who's doing the Maisa. Right? And since that isn't the case necessarily, you know, because a lot of people, you know, leave the Bris Mila to the Mohel. So, you know, even though it's a good thing to be a Mohel yourself, you know, at least I think it is. I wouldn't try it, but, you know, one should if one's confident and skilled enough, I guess. So the Gemara says the implicate. So again, here's where the Gemara says very clearly that the language of le, you know, isn't only future oriented, but it's also chovas agavra, you know, oriented. Okay, so you wonder whether that doesn't also, you know, so spill over. So when you're saying al hamila, you know, I guess the minimal, you know, argument is to say, yeah, we're still talking about a forward-looking mitzvah, and we're still focusing on the maisa, but since we're not focusing on this maisa as discharging a particular chavas agavra, you know, so, you know, we have to use language which also refers to lahaba, but absent this, you know, chavas agavra, you know, component. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, Aaron, is that what the Gemara is really saying is, What would you say?
I mean, this is an important issue in determining which bracha you're going to make when we're referencing Maisa HaGavra.
Exactly. The very fact that a Mohel can fulfill the mitzvah for you, right, is an indication, you know, that we are either of the nature of the mitzvah or at least what we're focusing on in the mitzvah, and that is the Chafetz Shel Mitzvah. and not the Chovas Agavra. And therefore, Al, you know, not only doesn't imply the Chovas Agavra, maybe it also shifts our entire focus away from the Maisa, not just from the Chovas Agavra, right, to the institution. Of course, if this were to be the case, then the question would be, like, what happens when the father, you know, he does have the skills, hopefully, you know, and the confidence, you know, to go ahead and to be the mohel, right? So, if it's all just a question of accuracy and so on, I think there would be two reasons, you know, that you would, you know, suggest splitting, you know, the matbea of the bracha, right? One is if it's all about accuracy, and therefore in certain circumstances, you know, the preferred accurate or the preferred nusach is also accurate. That's one possibility. But, of course, there's another possibility, and that is that the two nuschei habracha, Aaron, represent two different emphases, right, in the mitzvah itself. And then you'd wonder whether it could be, you know, other nafkamina, you know, as well. Like, is it an additional keel, you know, for the father, aside from reason or something like that, but from a bris milah point of view, is there an added in hilchos milah, in other words, not just in hilchos mitzvos, you know, bo yoser mibishlucha, you know. So from a general point of view, and in terms of, you know, Ratzah Kach Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lepikachiv Torah Mitzvos, acknowledging that kind of, and, you know, reflecting that, you know, it's always better, just as reason magdim in the mitzvos and all the other things we discussed earlier in the year, mitzvah baliyadcha, you know, al tach mitzena, and so on and so forth. So, you know, if he can do it himself, instead of farming out the mitzvah, you know, that reflects eagerness and so on and so forth. But that doesn't mean that, you know, that from a hilchos milah point of view it's any different. Or no. That's exactly what we're saying. What we're saying is that the mitzvah in the Torah includes two components, right? One is focusing on the chafetz shel mitzvah, the institution of milah, and that is something which applies even when accomplished by a third party. However, you know, the mitzvah al ha'av is a dimension of milah itself. It's a better milah, a different chalos of milah, right? In which case, the idea that you would, you know, split the bracha and that the bracha would reflect that, you know, is important. Now, let's say you find, you know, that in this phenomenon, like, you know, let's say there's, you know, five cases that we can come up with where, you know, you have this kind of structure. In other words, where the bracha seems to be, you know, limited to al, you know, for such reasons, you know, and if the, you know, if the mitzvah party himself, you know, does it, let's say in three of the cases, you know, the poskim are telling you it doesn't make a difference, and you say the same bracha, and in the other two cases they're telling you no, depending on who does it, that, you know, dictates who makes the bracha. Right, so then, you know, obviously it's not across the board one or the other. You know, what we're saying is, oh, in Tchum, you know, A and B and C, you know, what we're really saying is that there's a better way to create, you know, this mitzvah, or to do this mitzvah. It's really a chalos, and that's reflected in the Nusach HaBracha, changing, you know, depending on who it is that's actually being Mavarak. However, in the other two tchumim, you know, it doesn't really make a difference, you know, except for maybe Zrizin, Magdimin, or, you know, those kind of, the eagerness factor. But in terms of the Chatzah Shal Mitzvah, it really is the effect, it really is the institution, you know, and so on. Okay, so this is something, you know, to look at. We'll see in the Matzkana of the Gemara, when it comes to Mila, it ends up being a machlokas between who and who. Did you see it?
I think the Rambam says that it depends on whether it's
the father. The Rambam paskins the halacha that, you know, if the father does the milah, that that if the father does the milah, you know, that he makes the lamo. Yeah, who disagrees? An equally prominent, you know, figure. How many equally prominent figures are there?
Wow.
Like, you know, that I would call an equally prominent figure. Yoni?
Rashi.
Rashi, correct. Rashi, in the end of the sugya, right, says that, you know, when the sugya is over, and that, of course, is fascinating, too, because it means that he felt that the Shaklavatarya, you know, changed its mind on this issue. In the end of the sugya, Rashi says that if the father does the mila, he still says ala mila. So that's a very interesting argument. So again, it could be that this is an across-the-board brachos, you know, nusach habracha, you know, birchas hamitzvah kind of an issue. And, you know, you'd get this, you know, wherever, you know, you have the structure. But it could very well be, we could certainly, you know, conceive of the possibility that this is very contingent upon the particulars of different mitzvahs. Okay, so that's something, and all this, I'm just trying to go through slowly and kind of flesh it out. You know, we'll actually get back to some of these things, obviously, but just to see, even in the Shaklavatarya itself, that there are, broadly speaking, almost two ways to read everything, or at least questions that are coming up, you know, as we read, you know, through just the Shaklavatarya. Very rich, you know, Shaklavatarya is what I'm trying to say. Okay. So the Gemara says, Abi Abay Maikal Meimar. So the Gemara here says it, well, that's what we just talked about, in Achanan. Okay. but whether that stands or must come, according to the Rambam, it does, at least regarding Mila. And according to Rashi, you have the Yoni, you have the language of Rashi? Where he has it,
yeah.
Where he says it?
He says, Yoksa Albior,
yeah.
Namila Abom Ashma. He says, Gabimila Nami Goshna Abi Aben Yinish the Alma, the Hamla Abom Ashma.
Yeah, which, and it's even the language is good. Why, Yoni? Because what he's emphasizing is that the maskana and his understanding is that albir doesn't, you know, we'll have to see if it's true in general, but like you don't lose anything with albir, right? It's also lahaba mashma, and the keywords maybe here are the alamila nami kilamul dami, meaning. What you could have said was that even the maskon, no matter what, there's a difference. There's a difference in emphasis, right? The only question is, you know, there's more than one way to emphasize, to make the bracha on this mitzvah. If a mitzvah has multiple dimensions, the question is which one should be emphasized, or is there an option, given the reality? I don't know if there's ever an option simply to choose, but the point is if you're forced, you know, to scale back, you know, because of inaccuracy, you know, so in that circumstance, you know, what are your options? But the language of Rashi is more that, oh, no, the Maskana of the Gemara, originally thought there's this big difference, and therefore, you know, you should minimize the use of Al-Hamila as much as possible, and when you can get away from it, you know, Lumbel is more accurate. You know, Kamashmal. Again, you could have added, and the Gemara originally thought, if you say it our way, that, you know, it reflects different dimensions, but once we've said that Alamila also refers to Lahaba, so maybe it also refers to the Maisa, and it doesn't even refer to different dimensions, you know, and so on. Okay, whereas the Rambam clearly felt that even if Alamila, or Al rather, can also refer to Lahaba, in the end of the day, the distinction between Al and Le is still, you know, very valid. And therefore it's still a window into the thinking of the nature of brachos. Okay, let's continue for a moment. Meisvei.
Baruch Asher Yishanu V'mitzvosa V'tzivanu Al Shechita. It sounds like...
So again, it's Al Shechita, not Lishchot. So once again, you have an al formulation over la siyasan in a birchas mitzvah. So this seems to prove that it's fine. We'll say, according to Rashi, in the end, that there really is no difference, that they're interchangeable, or mostly interchangeable. So the Gemara says, well, go ahead.
Yeah, Hasanami Nema Lishto Lo Sagya.
Wait, so it's Hasanami. Hey, yeah, go ahead. Right.
Hasanami Hefi Nema. Nema Lishto Lo Sagya Dilatium Shabi.
Oh, so there's a Girsa. The question whether this Girsa does or doesn't exist here. That's something that we discussed last year in the beginning of the year, right? The whole discussion of the Bahag, you know, the Ramban in the Sharashim, in Sefer Mitzvos, right, in the Rashbats. Again, those who are here just came in this year are not, you know, responsible for all that, but those who were here last year hopefully remember it, you know, fondly. And of course, again, it's connected to an important issue. Namely, Aaron?
Mitzvah Shchita.
Yeah.
There is.
Is there a mitzvah Shchita at all, or is it a Dvar Rishus? Is it just a matir? Even if it is a mitzvah, you know, is it a mitzvah, is it a chi of a mitzvah when, or in the context of deciding, you know, to eat meat? And then it becomes like a chiyu. If you can somehow be in that framework, and it's assuming there is such a thing as the framework of meat eating, right? Something we talked about last year. So then it becomes a chiyuv. Or no, it's always a rishos, you know. And maybe, as I say, only a matir. There's language of the Kesed Mishnah, if you remember, and the Rishonim. So this is a kind of a tricky question, how to navigate this line in the Gemara. As is the next line. Go ahead.
Pesach and Kodshim,
Ma'ika Lameimar,
and
yeah. Afinam. Oh. So in Pesach and Kodshim, you know, Shechita's role is more prominent. First of all, there's a Chiyu, you know, in Kodshim, you know, and in Pesach. And there are several things to say, mention here. Number one, of course, is the fact that the Gemara separates, you know, Pesach and Kodshim. Or not to say Kodshim, and that, of course, includes Pesach as well. But we already noted this year, this is not last year, we noted it last year and this year, that it's very conceivable that, number one, Pesach, of course, is part of Kodshim, but it's also apart from Kodshim, right? It's, again, in the Rambam and Sefer Karbonos, not an Avoda, it's a Shmos Karban, not a Vayikra Karban. It's outside the framework of Alei HaShleim, of the Tmidim, right? It's a unique korban. It's, you know, it's you know, not exactly Yachid, not exactly Tzibur. You know, it's brought B'Kenufya. And it has, you know, it's the Chabura is the primary category. You know, and in addition to all of that, you know, it has unique Dinim, which is why there's a Chagigas Yadalit, and there's an Isra Benechar, all the things that we, maybe it triggers and Isra Malacha, especially for people like the Rambam. You know, so Pesach is very unique, and part of its uniqueness is expressed particularly in what, Aaron?
Shchita plays a more prominent role.
Exactly. Excellent. So the Mishnah says later on in Pesachim that Shchita plays a more prominent role in Pesach than it does in other Kodshim. It's even conceivable that that is true with regard to some of the Lishma, you know, issues in Korban Pesach, you know, where Zrika and Kapara, you know, are more prominent, or at least equally prominent, in some cases more prominent, in Shar Kodshim. This is still working, right? It's conceivable that Shchita, you know, assumes that more prominent position, you know, when it comes to Korban Pesach. And of course, the Shchita is, you know, Tachosel Al Aseh, that's the moment, you know, of defining, you know, the Chabura. And there are all sorts of, you know, indications that Shchitas Kodshim, that Shchitas Pesach, rather, is far more prominent. If you just look at the Pesukim themselves, it would be in the Torah. The Shachatu also called Kahal Yisrael. Sounds like everybody's obligated to do Shchitas, you know, Korban Pesach. And as we noted also, the Rambam formulates a mitzvah of Shchitas Korban Pesach. Again, there are some differences in his formulations in Yad HaChazaka and the Koteret and in Sefer Mitzvos regarding Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. But the takeaway is that either way, the Rambam, in all the places you know, relative to what he says about Shechitas Kodshim. In Shechitas Kodshim, like, the mitzvah isn't Shechita. It's always, you know, avodas, you know, hakarba, which of course includes Shechita. But the idea in Pesach is focused on, you know, certainly also means asiyas a Pesach, but in some cases the Rambam says specifically Shechitas a Pesach. And of course that's a nod to the Mishnah and to the Ikar and to the Dinim that flow from that Ikar. But it's not just a nod, it also, you know, carries it, you know, further. It implies that, you know, the Maisa Shechita is not just a means to an end when it comes to, you know, that should be the Vela or the Tchila Soavoda, things of that sort. But that, you know, the Shechita more specifically is a Maisa that requires Shlichus, that is part of the mitzvah, etc. So if all that is true, we can understand why the Gemara, you know, says, you know, not only Kachim, but under the rubric of Kachim, Pesach for Kachim, Michael Amemar. The mitzvah of, you know, the din rather of Shluch Lashon Kamoso, in part is learned from Korban Pesach, you know, in the beginning of the second parak, you know, of Kiddushim, B'shachto also called Kahal Adas Yisrael, you know, as we noted. And that's surely significant. There's a couple of simanim in the Sefer Minchas Baruch. He was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, I mentioned him in the past in this context, where he discusses, you know, some of these questions. Like, does the fact that the Gemara derives Shlichus in part from Korban Pesach and other indications that, you know, really demonstrate that the role of Shechita is different in Pesach than it is in Shaar Kodshim? I don't remember whether he brings, you know, this particular raya or not, you know, from the sugya here, and the fact that Pesach, you know, is separate. Either way, again, I think it's all, you know, very significant. In Psukim themselves, when we talk about Shechita and the Makor for Shechita, Pesach is, you know, treated differently, you know, than Shaar Kodshim. So I think all of this is remarkably consistent. And the idea in particular, the Slaysag Dilav Yu Shachet, you know, when it comes to Pesach, especially for the Shlichos, even more so than in regular Kodshim, where of course you have to do the Shechita, and it's not a Rishus because you have to bring the Korban, you know, but again, if it's simply, you know, a way of avoiding the Vela or a way of, you know, Tchila Soavoda and Dalet Avodos, and, you know, it's not comparable to Pesach. There's still a difference between Pesach, you know, and Kodshim in every way. Again, it's very fascinating also to note, Agav, that when the Rosh in Ksuvas, right, invokes Shechitas Pesach and Kodshim, when he talks about, you know, Birchas Shechita, you know, in general, he also thinks that, you know, l'halacha, you know, not like this line in the Gemara, that there's a relationship between Shechitas Kodshim and Shechitas Chulin, right, in terms of the, you know, the requirement of Birchas HaMitzvah. And that, of course, is a topic in its own right. That also relates to what we talked about at the beginning of last year. My view in particular that Shechita is something which comes from the world of Kodshim and was kind of exported into the world of Chulin, and that that's part of, the tzivui that is the makar, kasher tziva Hashem, and explains a lot of things about the beginning of the Masechta. Obviously the Rosh is trying to say something like that, and this is the famous Rosh, the Rosh in Suvasan of Zion, where he talks really about Birchas Erusin being a Birchas Shavach Bahodah and not requiring even a Birchas HaMitzvah. So in that context, you know, he compares Birchas Shechita and Birchas Erusin, you know, and part of that discussion is to explain why there is a Birchas HaMitzvah in Shechita, and that's what he kind of invokes. But you'd have to say, well, maybe that's true, Lamaskana sa Gemara, you know, maybe not, you know, Lahava mina of the Gemara here. Okay. But either way, this is a very, again, very packed line, obviously, what the Gemara says here. Okay. Meisvei.
Meisvei. Ha'o also lulav b'gatzcha on the varech shafiyano b'kiyam on the higiyano zman hazeh.
Okay, so we'll have to look more at this, but it sounds like, again, that the preferred nusach in lulav is al netilas lulav, not litolas alulav. And that, again, implies that that's a legitimate, you know, potential use also for bedikas chametz, or for any other bedikas chametz. Okay, now here the Gemara says something very fascinating. Go ahead. Oh, what does that mean?
From the moment you pick up the lulav, you're already yotzei.
Yeah. So is that really true? It sounds here like the Gemara is saying that it's true. And therefore, that is reflected by the fact that you make a bracha, you know, lisha avar, which would either mean that there's such a thing as a birchas mitzvah lisha avar, or that this isn't really a birchas mitzvah, one or the other. The issue with it, and this is of course a famous line, the issue is, you know, whether or not it's true. Meaning, we do perceive birchas lulav as a birchas mitzvah in Ovelas Yasan, and we actually work very hard, you know, to try to neutralize. Right, what do we do? Yeah, so the Rishonim have different explanations, different strategies, but we'll discuss it very quickly. You know, what you do, you turn the esrog upside down, so it's not kederach kedei lasso, so you can't be yotze, so you delay the mitzvah, you know, until after the bracha, or you have kavona lo latzeis, if that works, or you only pick up, you know, three of the minim, not the fourth min, if that works, it's also an issue. Or... you know, somehow you rely on what the Bali Tosis here discuss also, you know, the minhag of Anshei Yerushalayim. Yeah, you'd see what Anshei Yerushalayim used to do? Not familiar? Did you ever spend Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael? And what do they do? I don't know if they still do it, but well, you know. David, what do they do? Anshei Yerushalayim Eitan. Yeah, they used to carry around, the Gemara says in Lulav HaGazal, that Anshei Yerushalayim used to carry around their, you know, their minim all day long. Wherever they'd go, they'd go to Tzvila, they carry their minim. They'd go to visit, you know, their friends, they'd carry the minim. You know, they'd even go to, you know, a base Avel. You know, the question is, what does that mean? But, you know, they'd carry their minim. So, some people say that, you know, like the mitzvah extends all day long, so there's no problem with mid-agbe nafek be. Others, this is where the Bali Tosfos come in, speak about the nanuim, right? What role did nanuim play in the dalet minim? Is that a din in halel? You know, if you have a dalet minim and you integrate it into halel, so you do nanuim. That's certainly a view of, you know, a possible view, and the view of some of the Rishonim, or is it a kiyum in the Dalet Minim? You know, both integrating Hallel into the Dalet Minim, it's a big, very big theme, certainly as the Rambam seems to hold, and some of the views in Bali Tosfos, you know, by means of the Nanuim, is it's not a Hallel din, it's a, so again, so it's not, you know, mid-agbe nafak be. It's over Las Yasa. Anyway, the Rishonim work very, very hard in order to solve this problem. Again, we'll, you know, we'll look at the Avatosis here. Yitzi, he gets very quickly. Did you see it? Latzis Yatza Mibayle. You know, we don't have that line yet.
Latzis
Mashmash Lo Yatza Adai. It was in the Tila. Mishkar Tasla Kishahavcha. Kishkar Yeah, so a whole range of strategies, and the question is, do they argue with each other or not? So this is an interesting point, because on one hand, and that's kind of what the Gemara is saying, But, you know, what did the Gemara even think? The Gemara really thought that, you know, this is not over Lasiyasan, or it's compromised. So all of this needs to be figured out. Okay. The Idna Da'ag Be Nafak Be. Okay. Yehoki Lotzeis Bo. Instead of saying, you should say Yotze Bo Boy, because the Gemara originally thought that it really is, you know, La'achar Asiyasan. Correct? So the Gemara says, Inokanami. That's Inokanami, you know, is what is defied by the Rishonim, who all work hard, you know, to reestablish that there is an overlasi yasan, you know, in the Dalet Mina. Okay? Pashtus of this Gemara, you could say the Gemara is saying, no, there isn't. Okay. Go ahead. Mishum de kabay lemisna.
Mishum de kabay lemisna seifa, leishi basuka, tana reishanami, latzisva.
Yeah. Okay, so again, with regard to lulav, as I say, we're left with a very cloudy, you know, picture. You could definitely walk away thinking that there is no overlasi asan in lulav from this Gemara. And as I say, the Rishonim do not think that this is correct, la'alacha. Okay. But it's love to explain then, you know, why does it we say al netilas lulav? Okay? So that we'll have to get back to. Keep going. The Hilchasa?
The Hilchasa al biur chametz.
Oh. So once the Gemara says Hilchasa al biur chametz, you know, what does that mean? So the Rashi we already read, Yoni read it for us. Because Nami Lahaba Mashma. But it doesn't have to be the Pshat in the Gemara. Again, and Rashi says, you know, that it's equivalent, and therefore it's never better. Sounds like Rashi thinks, you know, it would be across the board, you know, that under all conditions you could say Al. You know, it's tough to consult with Rashi why Lamaisa we don't, but at least in terms of this aspect of it. Another way to read the Gemara would have been the Hilchasal Bir Chametz, meaning in Akanami, right, L'chatchila at least, is always better to say Leh. But there's something about B'dikas Chametz, even though, you know, it's, it you know, the things that the Gemara says about it, you know, which are, is it, a, well, we talk about a Chometz Agavra, you know, is there a Mide, you know, Agba, Nafik Bey, you know, equivalent, you know, those things don't apply to B'dikas Chametz on the surface, right? So what is it about B'dikas Chametz then that B'hilchasa, again, obviously can't be, you know, inaccurate, like Tosis points out, you know, but why is it preferable? Right. So the Gemara doesn't say, really. So the idea that, you know, because in the end of the day, even if both are Lahaba, you know, there's still a question of what is the nature of the mitzvah, what are we accentuating about the particular mitzvah. But still now, we've kind of been dealing with all mitzvahs, you know, as one unit. And like there's a hierarchy about what's preferred and what's, you know, necessary, you know, given, you know, individual circumstances. Another way to read the Gemara is that when the Gemara says V'hilchasa, it's a din in B'dikas Chametz. And of course, not only B'dikas Chametz, but what we're saying is Inokanami, the possibility of saying Levayer Chametz accurately is there. Again, Rashi is saying you can say Levayer Chametz, but you don't need to, because Al Bir is fine. And that's why Rashi also concludes that let the father, you know, in Bris Milah also say, you know, Ala Milah. But if you don't want to say that, well, you say you learn like the Rambam, that there's still a benefit to the father saying Lamo. So when you do B'dikas Chametz, right, why are you saying all B'dikas Chametz? That remains a question. So is it that in the end of the day, maybe is there no Chometz Agavra for B'dikas Chametz? The Gemara doesn't say that. Or is it that even if there is a Chometz Agavra, it's still, you know, Al Biur, that Nusach, you know, has other implications, right? Maybe, as we said before, connected to the fact, you know, that it's less obvious that it refers Lava, even if it doesn't make it inaccurate, maybe it focuses on the Chafsa Shel Mitzvah, the Chalos, you know, which is generated as a result of the performance of this mitzvah, right? All of which, you know, justify, you know, for, in other words, for which this becomes a more accurate, you know, term. And that opens up, you know, the entire sugya to say, okay, now let's look at every single bracha. You know, for example, looking back at lulav, we no longer need to say, you know, that it's not a overla siyasa, right? But, you know, either mida'ag be'nafek be' is irrelevant, digloy milsal ma'frei, and there are other factors, or mida'ag be'nafek be' is a factor, and, you know, maybe it highlights, you know, that the nature of the mitzvah of lulav is just different. You know, maybe it's not a single action. Maybe it's related to all the different kiyumim that are associated with it. So it too is like a, you know, mitzvah that is focused more on the chafza and the implications of the chafza rather than the maisa gabra. Because there's no single maisa gabra. It's, you know, it's, you know, it's carrying it around all day and it's, you know, doing the nanuim and, you know, and so on and so forth. So maybe, even though it is overlasi asan in every way, not impossible to do, as we know, Rishonim came up with very good, you know, cogent, you know, suggestions. But at the end of the day, you know, it's like Bedikas Chametz, right? Where you could say libdok, maybe, but you know, you don't need to, because al, you know, has benefits. And in Mila, you know, it'll depend on who does it. And in some cases, again, if you only had the paradigm of Mila, you could say, well, you know, it's always preferable to say La, but B'diavad, you could say Al. You know, but another way to be reading the Gemara is that when the Maskana of the Gemara, when it says Hilchos Al Bir Chametz, what we're saying is you could say La, you know, Levayer, then you could say Al-Bior. If you're choosing Al-Bior, then instead of always being second best and a B'di-Eved, you know, obviously there is some, you know, conceptual, greater, you know, accuracy, meaning, you know, to doing that. And once that's the case, I said, then the world opens up. Then let's look at each and every mitzvah, including lulav, but also other mitzvahs, and see how they're formulated. How do we formulate Hadlakas Neros Chanukah, right? And how do we, and so on and so forth, every single mitzvah. Okay, let's continue for a moment, but that's kind of how you, a way to read the Gemara.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is a little bit strained, a little bit. All of a sudden, after discussing all of this, the Gemara says, oh, by the way, you know, the assumption that we've been making until now, which is that you have to make the bracha in advance, like, where does that come from? So I would have expected, you know, after the Minalan, to see a pasuk, right? But we don't. We have a memra, kol ha-mitzvos mevarech aleihem, you know, over la-siyos. How do you know you have to have a bracha in advance? The answer is because Shmuel said it. Okay, not discounting that. I'm just saying it's a little bit, you know, curious. Okay, my mashma.
The high over addition of the akumenu. Amr of Nachum bar Yitzchak, Gamar Krav, Bayar Zafi Matzera Hakikar, Bayamor et Tarkushi.
Yeah.
Abaye Amr Mihapa, Bahua Barli Kneham, Bibay Zema Mihapa, Bayavor, Malkamli Kneham, Bashem Rosha.
Yeah. So it's, again, it's curious because it's not a pasuk. So they're darshaning what the word over means according to Shmuel, right? Okay. I mean, again, I don't have anything particularly intelligent to say about it. I just think it's something to think about, keep an eye on. Looks like maybe Asher wants to say something. Yeah?
Over time.
What?
Looks like we're over time.
Oh, time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have another, like, we'd go till 2:30. Okay, but thank you, I appreciate it. Oh, I thought you wanted to say something about the...
But,
yes, right. And I'm saying, but here the Bavli is straight. It's just, right. In contrast to Yerushalmi, which we'll discuss next time, you know, it's particularly strange, right? So but I'll finish in just when I get through the Shaklataria. Be Rav Amri.
Be Rav
Yeah. That chutz min ha-tvila v'shofar. So this is also very fascinating, right? That tvila and shofar are exceptions, so far, to the principle of overlasiyasa. Right. So once again, you want to figure out what that means. Bishlama tvila.
Bishlama tvila da kata gavra lo fazi. Ela shofar my time.
So again, the idea that tvila is an exception because of gavra lo chazi can still be taken in two opposite ways, right? Namely,
as we're talking about Rashi and Tosas, or
also Rashi and Tosas for sure. Yeah, you can bring that in. That's great. Meaning the idea is that you don't have a choice, so you just can't. You can't do it. You know, because it's gavra lo chazi. He doesn't have kedushas hashar. He can't make the bracha. But in the end of the day, that doesn't mean it's a paradigm. You know, it doesn't mean that tefillah is some sort of an exception. You know, in terms of its nature, it's just that lemaisa, it's the afshar. So, and of course, anything. What's the Rashi and Tosas?
Rashi says that the gavra lo chazi is valkari, and Tosas says that it's a gear, it's gaia.
So that's number one, and number two. You know, this is the larger question. What about other tefillos? Right? Are other tefillos under the rubric of these tefillos, or this tefillah, whichever that this is, because Anadoma, Ger, and Balkari, are we saying, listen, you know, you always want to make a bracha over Lasiasa, but sometimes you can't. Even then, by the way, it could be explained in two ways. One is, you can't, and therefore you make a Birchas Shevach Bahoda instead, because that's all you can do, which is an interesting phenomenon. Maybe if you can't make a bracha on a mitzvah, you shouldn't make any bracha, right? That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, Yitzi, is what? We're not conceding birchas on mitzvah, we're just conceding what? What's that? We're just conceding that it always has to be over lasiyasa. If it can't be over lasiyasa, then maybe it can be lachar asiyasa, which would mean that Overlasiyasan isn't a inherent condition or requirement of Birchas HaMitzvah. It's just that when it's possible, it's ma'akev. When it's not possible, and why is it ma'akev? Because maybe that's the kind of tziruf to the mitzvah is in advance. The brachas mitzurefas to the mitzvah in advance. But if it's impossible because you're not allowed to make the bracha, in advance, then it's not a lack of, you know, tziruf, you haven't squandered the opportunity. So then, you know, you do the best you can. So the right after is the key moment. So what are we saying about tfilas gerim or tfilas keri, which is whichever one it is, as the acknowledged exception, you know, in the Gemara? Are we saying, you know, again, different, you know, tfilas keri is a technical problem, but at least there's Kedushas Yisrael. Tefillas Gerim obviously is a much bigger issue, more of a hafka. So, are we saying that you don't need a Birchas HaMitzvah and you get away with the Birchas HaShevach, but all Birchas HaMitzvah have to be over Lasiyasan? Or are we saying that over Lasiyasan is expendable, even though it's Ma'akev, maybe, we'll have to discuss that also. Is it Ma'akev? Over Lasiyasan? Excellent, yeah. The Or Zeruah in Simin Chafei, says it is not expendable. Says it is expendable. Bidyeved, if you were to be Mavarech after a mitzvah, you know, you would fulfill a mitzvah, and it's not a bracha levatal. And the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, and very prominently again in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishus, when he talks about Birchas Erusin, says explicitly that it's Mehuvas Lo Yuchal Litkon. And if you, it has to be over, there's no such thing as a bracha la'achar. So again, this is all, you know, if you all like yours or ruah, it's easy to say about, you know, even tefillas geirim, and certainly tefillas keri, you know, that, you know, you don't have a choice, so you make the birchas ha-mitzvah. What? Yeah, exactly, that's the raya. Then, you know, make the bracha afterwards. But if you hold like the Rambam, you know, you're going to say one of two things. One is, who told you that that's a birchas ha-mitzvah? Maybe what we're saying is that that's always ma'akev, but b'di'eved you have a birchas shevach v'hodah. again, that, you know, who says that Berachas Shabbach V'Hodah is the backup for who says, you know, who says that's the backup for not being able to make a Berachas HaMitzvah? What does that imply about the nature of Berachas HaMitzvah and its relationship to Berachas Shabbach? Does it imply that Berachas HaMitzvah is a form of Berachas Shabbach, and therefore you make, you know, a more conventional one if you can't make, you know, the more specific one? So we'll talk about that. If you say that, no, you know, as long as it's possible objectively, then you, I'm not talking about honest, I'm talking about, you know, objectively possible, so then overlaps the yasan is ma'akev. You know, but where it's impossible by definition, like, you know, tfilas geirim, maybe also carry, although certainly less compelling, right? So then you could be, in those circumstances alone, right, you could have a birchas, that's the only way that you could have a birchas on mitzvah, mitzurah, so you're doing the best you can. So it doesn't depend on the individual case, whether you're onus, whether it's, you know, whether you forgot, whether you're on, it doesn't make a difference in the end of the day, but it does depend objectively on the nature of the mitzvah. For this mitzvah, that's, you know, that's the form of birchas. Not birchas shabbach, it's a birchas mitzvah. And the nafkamina, you know, maybe in terms of the nusach habracha, maybe in terms of other things. Okay, so another level of that, so you have the Arzur and the Rambam, you have, you know, different ways to look at this problem, you know, the Keri and the Tzvil and the Geirin. Another level of that is the issue of, is the Birchas Tvila that we're talking about in the Gemara, is that a paradigm for other Birchas Tvila that don't even have this issue? That's, will we say that since Tvilas Geirim or Tvilas Keri, you know, is La'achar, so other Tvilos, right, where you could be Mavarech Kodem, you know, still don't, you know, have that requirement. So if the point is that, you know, you've irrevocably lost the Birchas HaMitzvah no matter what, you know, or the only reason that you can be Mitzaref and still call it a Birchas HaMitzvah is because structurally it is not otherwise doable. So then, that's not true, you know, about other Tvilos. But if in general, let's say, Overlas Yasan, you know, is the preferred, you know, method of Birchas HaMitzvah, but when there might be something about tefila, not just, you know, the fact that it's impossible. Maybe there's something about the nature of the mitzvah tefila in general, as a phenomenon, you know, tahara yidei tefila, where the la'akrav is a proper form of Birchas HaMitzvah. And the paradigm of the Gemara, you know, is an indicator of that. So that's a huge machlokas harishonim. Okay? So we'll get to that, the exception question. Again, we're getting to a lot of it now, so we'll just fill in a little bit later. Keep going. What about shofar?
Hello, shofar, my time. Belitema mishum dilma metalkala tekiya, ihafti apilu shvito milanami.
Right, if you're worried about bracha levatala, right, which is an issue, that becomes a big issue in the Rishonim, like in Erusin and Mila, whether you make lifnei or la'achar, very similar in a way to what we just talked about in Tvila, but a different kind of yafshar, an yafshar based on risk, right? So is that the point? Yeah.
Ella amar fista futsmina tvila yolva.
Yeah.
Tanya nami hafi tava ba'ala ba'al yasar omer baruch hasher gisham b'tzosa v'sivan amal tvila.
Okay, so I think we are going to have to stop here because, yeah. But so basically, what emerges from the sugya is some very fascinating chakravatarya, which highlights a whole bunch of issues. And at the end of the day, we are left, you know, with, broadly speaking, two approaches. One is to look at everything in a more technical, accuracy, you know, preferable linguistic, you know, usages, and so on, and to try to navigate, you know, all of the evidence and discussions about proper nusach habracha for different mitzvos, you know, from that point of view. Or, and this is the main takeaway, based already in the Shak Levitarya of the Gemara and certainly in the Matzkana of the Gemara, maybe what we're dealing with is a much more flexible, you know, world of options. Maybe what we're looking for is not the single, you know, preferred or most accurate Nusach HaBracha, you know, but a Nusach HaBracha, you know, that, you know, most accurately depicts particular mitzvos. And the idea that, you know, whether it's Chavos HaGavra or the Chavtza Shel Mitzvah, you know, what it is that we, you know, relate to in the mitzvah, in terms of what makes it unique and singular, and if there's more than one theme, like which theme is the dominant theme, or does it make a difference, you know, within those themes, the particulars matter, who's doing it, you know, how it's being done, you know, do those figure into the, you know, actual conclusion of the Nusach HaBracha? That's something that emerges certainly from some of the lines in the Gemara, per se, the Rishon's reading of them, and as a serious option in the Maskanas of the Gemara as well. And that requires of us, you know, if we were going to do this very, very thoroughly, exhaustively, right, to really see what the criteria are according to various Rishonim, and, you know, to follow through with different mitzvahs, what exceptions there are, etc. So there are numerous, you know, discussions in the Rishonim on this. So we'll look at some of them very quickly. The Rambam, of course, in Perikid Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, and the Rosh, you know, the Ran, and the Ramban. So we'll look at some of them. We're going to begin with going back to Bedikas Chametz, because that's where we, and the Ran, and the Ritva, and the Ran, and all of that. So for that, just, you know, look at the Ritva again, Ran, the Meiri, and the Rambam on the question of making a bracha la'achar zmano. I look at the Nosa Kalim. I don't want to give it too much because I want to move quickly. The Nosa Kalim on the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbeinu Manoach, you know, what they say about the Rambam's Kalim. Remember the Ra'ah and the Ritva and the Avavah Bet Aleph about Lifnei Shloshim Yom and Tov Shloshim Yom. And if you can look up at the Poskim also, just what they say about it. I'm trying to cross that. Is there a Zman for Bedikas Chametz? Also an interesting question. And the Ritva here, Al Atar, the Ra'ah, you know, the Valitur, the Rebbeinu Manoach. Again, we'll just talk about it quickly because it highlights certain things about Bedikas Chametz. And then, of course, the Nusach of Al and Les. So we'll start off with Bedikas Chametz quickly, and then we'll move to the, just expand on some of the other issues that we've been discussing in terms of some of the cases of the Gemara and some of the broader schemes, you know, of the Rishonim, you know, Davar Shef Shari De Shliach, you know, Yizman HaKavua, you know, those factors, and to analyze what they really establish. Okay? So we'll pick up Thursday at, what did I say, 12? Right? And next Monday at 1, and hopefully Thursday after that at 11. And hopefully by then I'll be able to do a little bit longer instead of just in the middle trying to get, Asher to agree. He's saving me from myself.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Sure. And then we're going to daven. We could daven. I could daven, actually. Yeah.
So, how is
Mila,
Akuvat, Gabra, the Erzak,